name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, we are here on a day of anticipation. We're anticipating tomorrow. Does anyone know what tomorrow is? You all got the right answer. I was expecting some Labor Day responses. But it's actually both. It's actually not only the church new year, but it is also Labor Day. It's okay to acknowledge both are going on tomorrow. And we'll try and integrate the two. First, we'll speak about the church new year. The new year has to do with time. And time can be seen according to a linear perspective, cyclical perspective, or a spiral perspective. Linear, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world. Cyclical is the seasons that repeat themselves, the cycles that we experience all the time, the week, 24 hours, etc. And spiral is when the two are combined, that these cycles that repeat themselves lead us towards that next age, towards the time to come. When we look at that next age, we see the end result as a union with God, where He fills us and we are incorporated into Him in a way that is truly profound. And it has positive and negative consequences for us depending upon our relationship to God. If we love Him, we'll experience that next age as heaven. If we hate Him, just the opposite. It'll be hell for us. That we'll be united to God. And this is where the linear, the cyclical, and the spiral time goes, to God. When we think about the annual remembrance of our church new year, we see the liturgical cycle, and it's tied to the life of Christ, it's tied to the life of the Mother of God, it's even tied to the ministry and work of St. John the Baptist. At the end of the church year, on August 29th, we have the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. We celebrated that feast a couple days ago. And the beginning of the new year, we have the birth of the Mother of God. We'll celebrate that feast in a little over a week. And the ministry and the work of St. John the Baptist are very important for us to focus on at this time. It says in the scriptures that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. This is John, the forerunner and Baptist of the Lord. And he went into all the region about Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This ministry of St. John was one of preparation, getting the people ready for the one who was to come, the one who had been prophesied of old, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would grant salvation to his people Israel and incorporate the Gentiles into that and raise the whole world out of sin, death, and corruption. St. John is at the very, very end of the prophets. He's the last of the prophets, the greatest of the prophets, and he has the privilege of introducing the one that everyone was waiting for. And he prepares the people with one phrase. Does anyone know what that phrase is? You can even shorten that phrase into one word. Does anyone know what that one word is?
Repent.
Repent, right? Repent. Repent. He cries out in the wilderness, repent. What does this word mean? Depends on who you ask. You ask the church will tell you change of mind, change of heart, change of will, change of everything for the better. And once we go from evil to good, we go from good to better and better to best, and we keep going from glory to glory. This is what repentance is. It's actually our movement towards God that life is given to us for. Life is given for repentance. Now, St. John says of himself, he says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to even remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. A foretaste of that next age. Get the Holy Spirit even now. Participation in God. It's interesting, this word, baptism, means immersion. Right? And we baptize in the Orthodox Church by immersing people, because that's what baptism means. But it's much more about just being put under water. It's about having your whole life incorporated into God's life. This is what baptism is. And St. John was doing it with water, but Christ does it with the Holy Spirit and the fire. The type, the prophecy is fulfilled. And why is he doing it? Why is the Lord doing it? What is his great ministry all about? But that all might be one, as he is in the Father, and the Father in him, that all might be made perfectly one. It's perfect oneness, this unity. St. Paul speaks about this as the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God and Father of you all. He speaks about Christ as the head of the church, and we become his body. He speaks about Christ as the vine, and we are the branches. Our Lord himself gives this illustration to us, to his disciples. He is the vine, we are the branches. We are incorporated into him, grafted into his life. And we co-work with him. Now we're transitioning a little bit into repeating Labor Day. We co-work with God. There's a term for that in Orthodoxy. Does anyone know what that term is? It begins with an S. Synergy. Synergy. If we look up synergy online, you'll see that this concept was first introduced by Aristotle in his Metaphysics. But if you look it up, you'll see also that Pat Riley uses it to talk about how he formed the Lakers into this juggernaut of a basketball team. Synergy is common throughout the ages, but the church gives us a much more profound and deeper understanding of what this word means. Because synergy is our co-work with God, our working with God. Synergy is defined as the creation of a whole that is greater than the simple sum of its parts. Anyone heard that definition before? The creation of a whole that is greater than the simple sum of its parts. And it comes from the Greek word synergia, I think I got that right, which means working together. Some examples of what synergy is. One example is you take flour, you take water, you take yeast, you take heat, and you mix them all together, and what do you have?
Prosperi.
That is a spectacular answer. I was expecting bread, but prosper, offering to God, right? A wonderful, you get a prize for that one. Amazing. We take things and we get something better, more than some of their parts. A good example from chemistry is you take 2 parts hydrogen, 1 part oxygen, what do you get?
Water.
You take ingredients, put them together, and they make something better. Synergy has been applied to many diverse fields. Physiology, medicine, biochemistry, pharmacology, business, and others. One notable exception is mathematics. Right? 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4, and no more. Synergy, seen in socially organized groups, from in the animal kingdom, honeybee colonies, to wolf packs, and of course in human societies. If you take 2 short people, and they're looking to get an apple up off of a high tree, and they jump in and trying to grab it, and they can't do it by themselves, even if they're both reaching at the same time, you put them together, you stack them on top of one another, and they can get it. And the product of that synergy is the apple, the fruit of their cooperation. I had the privilege yesterday of seeing synergy in action. You take Kathy Parrish and you take hedge clippers and you have nice manicured bushes out there. But actually, not just Kathy Parrish and the hedge clippers, you take Darrell Wilson, who can reach the top, and now you've got the nice prunes. Oh, she's out there. You've got some teamwork. Then you take the 10 other people that showed up yesterday and did a host of other tasks in the parish center and on the grounds. You add all of that up, and what do you have? We worked for 3-4 hours. There were 12 of us. Times that up. How many hours of work is that? 36 to 48 hours of work, right? It's a week-long work. One person. Too much work even for one person. But with the community, it was taken care of. A wonderful example of synergy. But you know, that example applies to everything that goes on in the church. Look at our choir. You put together the four parts, and what do you have? Chord, harmony. You take the servers and the people and everybody who attends the liturgy and put us all together. What do we have? A dance of worship. And of course, in the liturgy, we have God Himself present. We have the union of heaven and earth. Everything we do in the church is about that union of heaven and earth, and God's presence within us and among us, uniting us to Himself and to one another. You know, I think about on this anniversary of the church year, this past year, and how it was spent. Last year at this time, we had just had a meeting of the parish. We came together to address the situation. We had a $30,000 loan that we had received, and we only had $15,000 basically paid back. We had $15,000 to raise. We had a short amount of time to do it. Everybody came together, put their offerings together, and we took care of that. This year, likewise, we painted the church. It's the first step in continued decoration of the walls and the ceiling. Came together and we did that. We had donation for new red, blue liturgical covers. Seamstress in the parish sewed that, together with our new gospel ribbons. And there are countless examples of how we as a community have come together for the glory of God. Now, what I mentioned to you can be seen from a strictly numerical or a material perspective. And I mentioned how the hours of all the laborers yesterday add up to the hours of one person working for a week. But of course, it was much more than that. Because what did all of those laborers do? But they gave a gift of love and help. And that's much more important than the hours and the work. Everything has a spiritual aspect to it, spiritual dimension to it. And as we talk about our church life, we have to understand that as well. This past year, we focus largely on taking care of material things. And they have their spiritual dimension to them. But the church is much more than that. You know, if our church expands and we incorporate all of the people in Berlin and Ocean City and just get everybody in the whole world into this church, and we have a mega church beyond comprehension, we will still not have fulfilled what it is we're called to do. Because the church doesn't just expand laterally or horizontally, the church also grows vertically. St. John wasn't telling people, you all got to get together and stay the same. He was telling people, you've all got to get together and repent. And the Lord delivers that message very powerfully. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, not the kingdom of earth. The kingdom of heaven. That all of these numbers, all of these people, all of this stuff on earth, it's not about earth. It's about making that ascent, growing, maturing, being united to God. It's about vertical growth, spiritual growth. You know, it's interesting, this past year we spent a lot of time and energy and effort getting our house in order, paying off short-term loan, taking care of the beautification of the chapel, the upkeep of the property, all of those kind of things. We're on the verge of a new year, and maybe that new year is not about just getting our house in order, but now that it's in order, to opening it up. Next week, we have the spiritual retreat, and we'll do just that. We'll invite people, not just from other Orthodox churches, but people from other communities of faith. People who have no faith. Inviting them to come and to see Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who is foretold, the one who brings us the kingdom of heaven through that call of repentance. You know, when we think about the life of the church, we think about this synergy with God. And it's a wonderful thing to consider. But I think sometimes we miss all of the dimensions of this synergy. And we can lose sight of the fact of how masterful God is in the synergy. I'm a priest and I lose sight of this all the time. There's an incident that happened last night that reminded me of it. You know, I was thinking about the sermon. And I walked into the bedroom, and I saw on my wife's nightstand table a little vase with a flower in it. And it was a flower of some type, I don't know, but it had a great fragrance. And it smelled actually like Holy Friday when we put all those lilies together in anticipation of Pascha. And it had this wonderful fragrance, and I asked the kids about it. I said, what does this flower smell like? They said, Pascha. It made that connection between this simple flower and that great mystery of resurrection. And I was thinking, isn't it wonderful how God can make that connection for us? And then it started to click to me. Isn't it wonderful how he simply made flowers that have this wonderful scent? And he gave us a nose to smell it, and eyes to see it, and hands to pluck it, and to give it to somebody. And for them to receive it and feel goosebumps all over. And isn't it wonderful how when we see all of this in God's creation coming together for us so that we could see his working within creation and within us? Isn't it wonderful when we see that how the response is to fall to our knees and give thanks to God, who is the master of synergy? By the way, those needs he gave us, those needs for that purpose, you could fall down and give thanks. Everything that exists in his creation is from him, for him, and in him. This is a truly wonderful gift that he gives to us. And he gives it to us to share it, to be co-workers, to call all of creation to a different mindset, to change our thoughts, our feelings, our will, our whole being, to be totally immersed in a new life, an eternal life, that comes through the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. We're at the point of the new year. We contemplate labor and work. Let us be people who are co-workers with God, moving in this new year and every year subsequent, in a cyclical yet linear, and also spiral procession to that next age. The next stage where we experience a union with God and with one another that is beyond compare. Because then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Christ to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.